to be preached, to be heard, to be lived. We have the gospel being preached, and the gospel has been preached for a long time. But what I want us to look at this morning is it really the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus Christ manifests? Galatians 1:7, Paul talks about how there were those that were distorting the gospel. I think we've suffered through a lot of that distortion. The gospel today in general is something that introduces people to Jesus Christ, the salvation experience. Good news, people, when they find Jesus in their heart, they're happy. They're relieved. They just feel such a all this tension of their life just being drained, and they realize only one thing's important. God loves me. Jesus died for me. And then that same gospel in a lot of churches continues on to enslave people. It's Jesus loves you, he saved you, now here's what you got to do. To either keep it or to really please God and to grow and to be spiritual and on and on. That becomes something very different than good news. That becomes bad news to a lot of people. Find people experiencing the grace of God then being put back under the law. And of course, this happens, and this is what keeps churches full a lot of times. This is how you collect people. This is how you keep people in your organization. You keep putting before them that here's your sin. Always remind them of what they're doing wrong. Try a little harder. Do a little bit more. And people keep coming back for more and more of that. This guilt, the shame. And then when people don't know what to try, you just say, well, your faith isn't great enough. You got to believe more. What does that mean, believe more? Here's a person that's struggling with their own humanity, their anxieties, their doubts, and they're hearing this from the pulpit and assuming that's what God is saying. There's something wrong with me. I just can't believe enough. If I could believe enough, I wouldn't be in these circumstances. I'd be a better person. All of that, you know what I'm talking about. That whole thrust is not the gospel of the kingdom. It's not the good news. It keeps people in bondage. It keeps people striving, but never getting anywhere. Gospel of the kingdom also brings the introduction to who the Lord Jesus Christ is. But what follows from that is not a bunch of rules and regulations of what you need to do. The gospel of the kingdom reveals what the Father has already done for you in Jesus Christ. It takes the perfect provision that Jesus made and it makes it a reality in your own heart and life. This is what we need. The gospel should not be about self-improvement. It should be about how great God's love is for us and how much has been won for us through his Son. A few scriptures. If you want to turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 15. You don't really have to turn there. You can just jot it down if you want to read it later. Oops. Verse 14, and after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So when did the kingdom of God start? When Jesus opened his mouth. When Jesus manifested who he was to people. You hear a lot of teaching about the kingdom of God. That's been a point of emphasis. And I think part of the problem is we struggle for an understanding of what it's to mean without realizing it's been proclaimed and manifest from the time of Jesus Christ. Beyond what we can put together as teachings, we need to realize that the gospel of the kingdom is about a manifestation of Christ, of life to us. It's about living. It's about who God is, who we are in him. So when he was just starting out, he was saying, the kingdom of God is here. What was he saying? He says, look at me. Look at who I am. Hear what I'm speaking. You're hearing and you're receiving the kingdom of God. The book of Matthew, chapter 4, 23. And there's so many verses on when Jesus said the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom. But Jesus was going about in all of Galilee, Matthew 4, 23. teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease, every kind of sickness among the people. The gospel of the kingdom is about authority, his authority. You know, what I want to present today is it's a challenge to our faith. Now, I'm not going to talk about how we get into this thing of authority, because I'm sure there's volumes of books written about it, but just to recognize that the gospel of the kingdom is not just words, ideas being expressed, but it's about the authority of Christ being manifest in those words. And what happens when the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed? People are healed, people are delivered, people are set free. How much of that do we see today? Certainly not enough. And I think we need to go to that place in us that aches for that reality and stay there. I don't think we need a how-to book, how to, you know, do this, do that, and then God's authority becomes real. We just need to have the faith and realize that it's not here yet to the extent that God wants it to be here. Too often, I think, with churches, it's a lot easier to just get caught up in the doctrine. Why? I can get away from this pain. Yeah, Jesus healed the sick. There was a manifestation, signs and wonders and power that came through the word that was preached. The early church had it. And it's in the world today, too. I'm not saying it's not happening. But it's often easy to get caught up in what we believe and our doctrines and how we put things together. And this is the gospel of the kingdom because we have all the right teachings. It's not the gospel of the kingdom until authority is manifest through the words. And when authority is manifest through the words, there is fruitfulness, there is change. That's what people remarked. You remember, I think it's in Matthew 7, 29. All the multitudes were just amazed at what Jesus was saying. Now think about this for a minute. Didn't the scribes and Pharisees say the same things? He was going back and revealing from the Old Testament things that were written, I'm sure, what the prophets spoke. What they were amazed about was he spoke as one that had authority, which the scribes did not do. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Two people can speak the exact same words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believeth in him shall not perish, have everlasting life. Wonderful verse out of John. The gospel of the kingdom takes that verse and doesn't reveal any hidden meanings, something that we have never seen before. But that word comes forth in authority, and people that hear it know that God so loved me that he gave his Son for me. It becomes their reality. Where with someone else that does not have the authority, it's just a nice little teaching to tuck away somewhere. But the authority of Christ transforms and changes us. It makes the realm of God's Spirit our reality. Gospel of the kingdom, manifest reality as it is in God's realm, his presence. This gospel manifests the reality that Jesus Christ is King and Lord over all creation. Do we have a problem with that? Well, look around you. Does this world seem like it's under any God's authority? The conditions are chaotic, they're confusing, there's so much evil in the world. We're all alarmed by it. But you see, we're still too governed by our senses. And what the gospel of the kingdom does, it comes and says, here's reality as God says it. Jesus Christ is King and Lord over all creation. That's already been established. But our senses don't perceive it, and we struggle with it. That's why we need to get into this, have the faith, even though I look out and see the same things you do in this physical world. There's the faith of agreeing with God that although this affects me, it affects my emotions, it affects my mind, what's going on in the world, that is not the reality of God's creation. And there's got to be a people in the gap that are just as human as anyone else that have a faith in what God says is reality. Book of Colossians, turn with me real quick, chapter 1. Let's look, this is just one example, there's so many others, of reality according to God. You know, one thing about the senses, you know the word carnal? When you think of that word, what do you think of? I mean, I always thought of it as being the sinful, depraved part of being human. But carnal, basically, is talking about our senses, just being human. It doesn't have to be just all these atrocious sins. It means we're in tune to the natural realm. That's why it says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not just talking about these horrible sins. Being in a natural state, it's enmity with God because it's not reality according to what God has created. So it's always that tension and struggle. Don't beat yourself up. God made you human, didn't he? He says, here's what I want you to do, like Abraham. Just believe. Trust in me. That's the bridge from this human state and all the limitations in our thinking to God's realm and his spirit. Jesus Christ is Lord and King, all creation being restored. Our only link is our faith. That's the only link Abraham had when God spoke to him about his future, whether it was having a child when he was well past the time of bearing children, whether God said, look at the stars, look at the sand, so shall your descendants be. You know, in God's realm, his reality was different from Abraham's reality, what Abraham saw, right? What did Abraham do? He believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That's all we need in this day and age. We don't need to figure things out. We don't need to just be antagonized by everything going on around us and strive harder. God, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to change this. So much of that struggle is born out of the religious nature. It goes nowhere. It just makes you sick. God says, look around you. It's not what I've told you is true, is it? No, God. Believe me. We stand in the gap between these ages with faith. And the faith pleases God. And you know the outcome is this natural realm, no matter how real it feels, is not eternal. God's realm, God's word, what he has done through his son on the cross will be the reality on this planet Earth. This planet belongs to him. When is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? I don't know, and I don't want to even go there. God has not asked me to figure his plan out. He's asked me to believe. And there's no buts or ands at the end of that. I want you to believe and, no, just believe and trust me in who I am. Believe that he is a faithful God. This is the reality of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, what are we doing here? We're supposed to go to Colossians. All right. God's reality. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We're qualified. How did you qualify for this? Well, you had to be a sinner, right? You had to be fallen. So when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he redeemed you. Those are your qualifications. You had to fail as a human being. And when you accept what he did for you on the cross, you're qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, listen how this is worded. For he will deliver us from the domain of darkness. That's the gospel that's preached too often today. Gospel of the kingdom is he delivered us. He did it. From the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. This has happened. It may not be our day-to-day reality. It is God's reality. How was it done? We didn't have anything to do with it. We weren't consulted about it. We have no hand in this. Jesus Christ loved us enough to go to the cross and pay the price, and that's how it happened. You can read this later. I'm going to stop right there, but going through this chapter, you realize that Paul is expressing what has been done. Why? Because he was speaking the gospel of the kingdom. He was speaking God's reality into the earth. When we accept this gospel of the kingdom, this anointed word from God, this authority, it causes us some personal problems. Because the gospel, just preaching and teaching about what Jesus said, what the apostles said, Bible scriptures, the word itself describes it, that the letter is dead, kills. It's the spirit that gives life, Corinthians, right? So I'm not challenged by Bible teachings. I'm not challenged by someone just bringing a sermon about what the Bible says. But the gospel that has authority challenges me because it goes right to my own belief system and my thinking and says, here's God's reality. You know what? What I think, my belief system isn't totally lined up with God's reality. I don't know about you. So it impacts us. It's living. It comes as a sword. It brings us a challenge. It's so much of human nature to want to just maintain our thinking. I think that's the hardest thing for us to change. We can change our behaviors, change what we do, but to let go of your way that you think. And I'm not just talking about just stray thoughts here and there. I mean those thoughts that are just rooted in your belief system. Deep, deep. It's very difficult to change that. I recommend that you not try without the power of God's word working in you. But we can let that word go to that depth. It begins to shake how we think, how our perceptions of God, of life, of ourself. And what happens when God's reality invades our reality? Guess whose reality is stronger? I think a lot of people have a reality in their belief system that I don't deserve to be loved. That comes about because how they've been treated or mistreated by people. That may not be part of their conscious thoughts, but that subconscious thought, that belief affects everything they do, how they perceive other people, themselves, in life, and God. I don't deserve to be loved, so Jesus, you went to the cross for me and you paid a price and redeemed me and well, wait a minute. No, I've got to deserve this somehow. I don't deserve to be loved. I've got to earn it. You see how those beliefs can affect how we live. They keep us imprisoned. But here comes this gospel with God loves you. It's free, unconditional. That comes in with authority and challenges the false belief of I don't deserve to be loved. Now, if we let the word in, we welcome God into our life to work in us in that way, who's going to win? Who's going to win that struggle? Because there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. There's nothing stronger in earth, above earth, under earth, right? That's what the Word of God says. But it's just allowing the process of the Word that's alive to go to the root of what you believe and how you think. The Pharisees had this challenge, didn't they? They had a certain perception. You know, it's interesting. Jesus quoted, I'm sure, a lot of the same scriptures that they taught. But, oh, they meant something completely different. Jesus said, all these things you've been reading, they're talking about me. And the Pharisees read them and said, no, they're talking about someone else. We don't want you. But they weren't open to that process of the gospel of the kingdom coming from Jesus, challenging what they believed and what they thought. They were very rigid. They were stuck. And we got to be very careful. That's easy to do. And the more religious you are and the more knowledgeable you are, you can be even more rigid and not that open to change. A lot of people get stuck that way. A lot of people don't. The more they grow in knowledge, the more they realize they don't know anything. But let's really be careful and say, okay, am I open for God to change how I think? Pharisees were not. Disciples had a struggle with it. They had a certain perception of Jesus and what he was going to do, who he was going to be to them. Here's our king. Here's our hero. We got it all planned out. And the reality of the cross didn't fit in their thinking, in their perception. But the difference is they were open. And that living gospel went to their heart, and they were shaken to the core. Peter denying the Lord after he left, going back to what they were doing before, disillusioned, heartbroken. But the Word of God didn't stop working in them, did it? Because they were able to change. And the day of Pentecost, when they came out of that upper room, they had the thinking that was God's reality. They understood what the cross was all about. That's our portion. The Old Testament, remember I brought this out a little while ago about Naaman, how he had leprosy and the prophet spoke a word, go wash in the Jordan, how he struggled with that. I think this is, to me, this is so appropriate to our lives. Realizing our leprosy, our weakness, our limitation, crying out to God, knowing that God's word can deliver us. Here comes the word of God from Elisha. Here comes God's word to our own heart. And wait a minute, it doesn't fit with how we think. Naaman was incensed by it. His pride was being offended, his arrogance. I mean, I'm an important man. I want God to do a special show for me. At least let me wash in a cleaner river than the Jordan. See, the word of God was going to his beliefs, his perceptions, his thinking. And basically, Naaman, either you think differently about this or you're going to be stuck with your leprosy. He listened, he was healed. Isn't that how we live, though? God, speak to me. Speak, Lord. I just want to hear your voice. He speaks. Well, wait a minute. That can't be right. That's not how I think. Do we want God to speak his living word to us, or we just want God to bless us so we can go on our way doing what we want to do? That's the question, because if God is doing the speaking, we're going to be doing the changing by that word that comes in to our lives. John 1 describes to me the gospel, the word became flesh, as it's becoming with us, as it was with Jesus. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Living epistles, known and read of all people. But this word, this gospel, is full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. John 1, you can read that. As it comes forth from the hearts of God's people, those hearts that have been shaken to the core by that very word, people are not going to encounter a word that judges them, threatens them. That's not this gospel. It'll be a manifestation of the grace of God and his truth to set people free. One last passage and we'll close, Luke chapter 4. Well, actually, there's two more. Luke 4, 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. He began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as was his custom. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Here's the gospel of the kingdom. Number one, his Spirit is upon us. That's what makes the word his kingdom. Because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Gospel of the kingdom goes out to those that are in need, recognize their need. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. Okay, who are the captives? The human race. Do we understand captivity? I mean, people are just in bondage to what? They feel condemned. They feel unloved. They don't need to be preached to and threatened and told that unless they accept Jesus, they're going to hell. No, people that have been hurt need to be released by the love of God. There are people that are captive to certain sins, horrible sins. And we think, well, that's it. Those people need to just die. They need to be judged. They're held captive. I have a problem. I mean, we all do with certain things that people do, the inhumanity that can come forth, the way people can be hurt. But they're still captives. They need the gospel of the kingdom to bring release if they want release. Our job is not to judge. Our job is to bring freedom and release by the Spirit of God. Recovery of sight to the blind, both in the natural and spiritual. To set free those who are downtrodden. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. gospel says it's favorable, guys. Human race, we're kind of waiting for a judgment. Doesn't look too good, does it? Yet the gospel of the kingdom says God's favor is upon you. This is good news. He redeemed you. How much are we hearing that of that today? Yet this is what Jesus said he was all about. He opened the book and said, this is about me. Here's why I'm here. How could it be any different for us as his people in this hour? This is what we're to proclaim, what we're to express, what we're to live and believe. And out of our lives is to come a freedom to set people free. The one last place is in 1 John. And for us that live with the reality of this gospel, here's what we say. What we have heard from the beginning, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld, and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. And what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Here's the ministry of this time. What we have handled, what we have experienced, we give to you, we manifest to you. Hello, world. We've got a smile on our face, even though there's not a whole lot to smile about when we read the newspapers. We've got a smile because the gospel of the kingdom is our reality, and we give it to you. You might know God and have the joy knowing how deeply you're loved. We set you free. Set you free from your sins, condemnation, shame. Set you free from religion and all the bondage that can bring to you. Set you free to know who Jesus Christ is and what he did for you. That's all you need. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, bless the word to our hearts. Father, open our eyes to see this new covenant of life that we have, how much you've given us. And Lord, we open our heart to allow this gospel to go to our very depth, our roots, the things that we hide from that keep us in bondage. Word of God, go there. You're living, you're active, you're powerful. You go right to the depth of who we are, and we welcome you there in those places of pain, in those places of hurt. Gospel, go there. Set us free that we might set others free. Your people can know who you are, how much you love everyone. Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to dismiss, and we got a meeting at 11:30, so bless one another.